morning. How's everybody this morning?
Real good.
Good. If you are a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. We are so grateful that you've chosen to come and worship with us. And it's our prayer that our worship service will be a blessing to each and every one of you. Hopefully when you came in this morning as a guest, if you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate or just leave it at the information table on the way out, that would be so helpful to us. But again, thank you for choosing to be with us. Everybody who came in should have received the bulletin. So if you did, take it out and let's kind of go over some of the things that are mentioned in the bulletin. Right after our morning worship service, we will be having Sunday school. And Sunday school is from the children all the way through the adults. And right now in our adult Sunday school, we're talking about current issues and how they fit in with the Bible and what the Bible tells us, how we ought to respond to those current issues. And right now we're talking about human rights, what the Bible has to say about human rights. So I would encourage you to stay. It's really been good. And then moving forward in our adult Sunday school class, we're going to be talking about some more of the current issues that are kind of the hot topics of our day. So I want to encourage you to, if you haven't been joining us for Sunday school, plan on doing that. If you have been joining us for Sunday school, now you know a little bit about what's yet to come later on this morning. Tuesday night, men, we have our Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m., and this is open to all of the men. So if you are a guest with us this morning and you say, whoa, I'd like to go and do a Bible study with the men at Lake Hazel Bible Church, this would be the time for you to come and join us. And then Wednesday, we have our Joy Bible study. And if you are a guest today, Joy means just older youth. But you don't have to be an old person to participate in the Joy Bible study. If you have the time to be able to come and meet with us, that would be great. And that's at 1 p.m. right here at the church. Thursday night, we have our children's ministry called Awana. And you can see what the night is going to be, and it'll be a great time for our kids. There's a couple of announcements, ladies, for you in the bulletin. So that's why it's important for you to make sure that you have one. And if you'll take a look at November's calendar. Whoa, dude, are we going to be busy or what? Huh? But that's okay. There's a lot going on, and that's a great thing. So you could take this home, and you could already be putting on your calendar the things that are coming up in November. That would be a great thing. Well, we have a couple special people that we want to recognize today. And today is Martha Adams' birthday. So happy birthday, Martha. Martha, why don't you stand where you are? And tomorrow is Christine Tremaine's birthday. So Christine, why don't you stand? No, keep standing. Keep standing, because we're going to sing happy birthday to both of you. All right? What? Deb's birthday's when? Today? Well, Deb, all right. Boy, her second week here, and she gets embarrassed. Notice, Deb, I didn't do this. Okay, all right. I just wanted to make that clear, okay? All right, Jared, lead us in happy birthday for these special people.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Now make sure that if you see them after church, you help give them a happy birthday individually. I think that would be very, very special. All right, you ready to praise the Lord?
Yes.
Is that why you came today? Amen.
Oh, God is good. God is good. Stand up on your feet. We're going to sing about our good, good Father. If you don't know our good, good Father personally, oh man, don't let today go by without meeting him face to face.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Do us. Hallelujah. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Do us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Be so unexplainable, I can hardly think that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Father of lights, your delight in your children. Father of lights, your delight in children. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. We recognize today that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and we're thankful, Father of lights, you never change. You have no turning. change. You have no turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you. Let every good and perfect gift comes from you. Gift comes from you, Father of light.
Thank you, Father, for giving us good gifts, for showing us that you love us. Lord, it's out of a heart of gratitude that we praise you today. It's out of a heart of thanks that we lift you up. You are our help. You are our strength, our high tower, our fortress, our hope, and you will not fail us.
I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak and I need. You're my strength in weakness. Come rescue me, oh Lord. For you are my hope, and your promise never fails me. And my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. You are my. Your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good. For you are good, for you are good to me. Oh, yes, you are good. Yes, you are good. You are so good to me. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are good. You are so good to me.
Please go ahead and be seated. I'm losing my voice up here, so you guys are going to have to sing real hard for me, okay?
Better than your mind.
Whew, thank goodness. God is good, amen? Gosh, he's so amazing. If you don't know Jesus today, don't leave this place before you meet him face to face. Talk to me, talk to a leader, an elder. Meet Jesus today. It's the best thing you'll ever do. All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you.
Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, and to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness, knowing you. Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die, knowing Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my life, you're my all. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all, you're all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord.
Usher's going to take this morning's offering. See, you don't have to have an amazing voice in order to praise the Lord. Amen. Give what you got. That's all he's asking for.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Sing to him. Sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. blessing and honor and glory and power forever.
Be blessing.
Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever.
Be blessing and honor.
Oh, be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever.
Boy, nobody knows Jared's last statement that he just made better than I do. You don't have to have a great voice to praise the Lord. Amen. Not about the voice. It's about who the praise is given to. Amen. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Boy, as I look out, I'm so glad that you all are here today. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Good morning, girls. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for you who sit on the throne. And Father, we know that you sit on the throne of your power and of your glory. But Father, the real question is, do you sit on the throne of our hearts? Father, have we given ourselves completely over to you? Father, or are we still about chasing the ideologies and the thinking of the world? Father, are we walking in truth? And Father, it doesn't matter whether we're old people or it doesn't matter whether we're young people. Father, you desire for each and every one of us to make your truth, the truth that we find in your word, the absolute focus of our heart and our minds and our lives. Father, may that be said of us. And Father, as your word is opened up to us, Father, may we be quick to hear. But Father, may we even be more quick to obey. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 25. And I want to give you a couple things to think about this morning. Think about this. Good deals are where you find them. And sometimes good deals find you. Someone said, never buy a portable TV set on the sidewalk from a man who's out of breath. Probably really good advice. There was a certain Idaho farmer who had been taken so many times by the new car dealer that when the dealer wanted to buy a cow, the farmer priced it to him like this. Basic cow, $200. Two-toned exterior, $45. Extra stomach, $75. Product storage compartment, $60. Dispensing unit with four spigots, $50. That's a real bargain right there. Genuine cowhide upholstery, $125. Dual horns, $15. Automatic fly swatter, $65. Total cost, $635. Now that is a really good deal. A cow with lots of options. Now think about this. Every box needs a lid. What good is a box without a lid, right? Now, sad to say, I have some boxes at my house that I have no idea where the lids went. I have some containers in my house where I have no idea where the lids went. And so it's kind of like, what am I keeping them for? And that is a really good question, because every box needs a lid. Every container should have a lid. And the Ark of the Covenant was no different. Remember, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant last week as we've been talking about the furniture in the tabernacle. And remember that this Ark of the Covenant was no ordinary box. And sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant is a lid. But it is much more than a lid. In fact, no piece of furniture ever in history has had a finishing touch as exquisite as the Ark of the Covenant that finishing touch, God's mercy seat. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 25 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 17 through 22. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. This instructions was given right after the instructions for what? The Ark of the Covenant. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half. Now remember, a cubit is how much? Good job, class. Some of you have been paying attention. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1 cubit and a half its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. So God's mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the same picture is this picture that's on the bulletin. God's mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant is a solid slab of gold, not just some ordinary lid. Now the mercy seat, for those of you that couldn't do the math, is 3 feet 8 inches long and 2 feet 4 inches wide. I can't do the math, so that's why I give it to you in that way. And we cannot begin to estimate its value, especially in today's terms. With the price of gold today, can you imagine how this golden lid sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant, can you imagine how valuable it is? Can you imagine how much it would have cost in today's economy? Now, the plan and the design for costing the mercy, constructing the mercy seat was to serve a twofold purpose. One, as a lid for the Ark of the Covenant, because there were things that went into the Ark of the Covenant. And we talked about that last week. There was a golden container of manna. Now remember, manna is what the Israelites ate every morning. It was given to them every morning except on the Sabbath, right? And remember, we talked about the fact that when God first brought them the manna and it showed up after the dew of the ground in the morning, they went out and they looked at it. The Israelites looked at it and they didn't know what it was. So they said, "What is it?" And it was called that from that moment on, because in Hebrew, the word manna means "what is it?" And so they had no idea what it was, but they knew that God had provided it for them. So that inside the Ark of the Covenant, there was a golden container of manna. Now, some of you are really good Bible scholars, right? And so you're saying, "But Pastor, I remember when we talked about this way back in some of the earlier chapters in our study of the book of Exodus, and I remember that the Israelites were given the instructions they were not to keep it for a long period of time. Otherwise, it would what? Spoil. And mold and maggots would start to appear on it. Now you're telling me that in this golden container there was manna and it was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. And you said last week that the Ark of the Covenant led the Israelites through the wilderness and across the Jordan River into the Promised Land for 40 years. So you mean that manna in the golden container that was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant never went bad? That's what I'm telling you. That is God's power at work. Now you might say, "Whoa, I don't know that I can understand that." Well, remember, it tells us that for 40 years, the Israelites' clothes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. God kept them from wearing out for how long? 40 years. How many of you have clothes you're still wearing that are 40 years old or more? Don't raise your hand, okay? How many of you have shoes that you're still wearing that are more than 40 years old? Don't raise your hand, okay? All right, okay? We got a bunch of Jack Bennies in our audience today. That's God's power. God did that for that manna that was in the golden container. And then Aaron's rod. Remember? God had told Moses to go get 12 rods and then to name each one of those rods for the children, for the tribes of Israel. But Aaron had his own rod with his own name on it, which represented the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe of Israel. And so at night, Moses laid them out in front of the Ark of the Covenant. The next morning when the priests went in, the rods were still there, but only Aaron's rod was different. Remember, it had budded, there was a flower, and there were almonds on Aaron's rod. To be able to confirm to the Israelites and to confirm to Moses that he was going to be the first high priest. He was going to be the head of the priestly tribe of Israel. And then inside there was also the two stone tablets that God had wrote the Ten Commandments on. The second tablets of stone, because remember the original tablets of stone, what? They got broke, right? When Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the people were worshiping the golden calf, in his disappointment and his frustration and his anger, he broke the two tablets with the Ten Commandments written on them. So then God asked him to come back up, and God with his own finger wrote on those two stone tablets the Ten Commandments. Those two stone tablets were to go into the Ark of the Covenant. So this mercy seat was a lid for the Ark of the Covenant because there was things inside of it. But it was also the mercy seat where God's holy presence would dwell with the people. And even more beautiful than the artistry of that mercy seat is what takes place on it. Now, God anointed men and gifted them to build the tabernacle and its furnishings. And it's obvious that they must have had much more than talent. They had the power of God and the hand of God on their lives. Often God will give someone an appointing for his special responsibility. We see that over and over again in God's word. And I hope you realize this morning that I can only do things God has called me to do with his help. I don't have a great singing voice. I don't consider myself to have a great speaking voice. I'm not the most educated. I might be the most handsome pastor in the valley, but the jury's still probably out on that. But I can only do what I do because of God's calling and because of his help. You know, the church today needs leaders and servants who have the power of God and the hand of God helping them lead and serve. It's not about their talent. It's not about their wealth. It's not about their influence. It's about is it the fact that God has prepared them, that God has equipped them, that God has called them. And I'm so grateful for the leadership team that we have here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, because I believe that every single one of them have the power of God and the hand of God helping them lead and serve us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. In the Ark of the Covenant, we saw the person of Jesus. But now as we study the mercy seat, we're going to see the work of Jesus. And the significance of God's mercy seat is found in three notable words. The first word is enthroned. And we get that from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5, where it says, above it, what was the it? The mercy seat. Above the mercy seat were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. In that day, the day of the Israelites, the day of the tabernacle, the day of the temples, in that day, the mercy seat was God's throne on earth, the place where God chose to make his presence known. You say, where did you get that, Pastor? Well, look at verse 22 of Exodus chapter 25. God says, there I will meet with you. It's kind of hard to meet with somebody, right, from a distance. So God directly came to be able to meet with the Israelites. The mercy seat is the place where the integrity and the certainty of God's standards are seated. And this is represented by the cherubim. Now, cherubim are generally associated with God's holiness. Now, cherub is just another name for angels. And the I am at the end of the word cherubim means a multitude. It means it's in the plural in the Hebrew. Anytime you're reading Hebrew and you see the word I am or the letters I am at the end of a word, it denotes plural. Like back in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, let us make man in our own image. God said that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The name for God there is Elohim, meaning there was the three persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit present during the acts and the actions of creation. Above the mercy seat and between the two cherubim, the high priest could witness as he went into the Holy of Holies, the very presence, the glory, and the brightness of God in a visible way. Now we see this in Numbers chapter 7 and verse 89, when Moses entered into the Holy of Holies to dedicate the tabernacle upon its completion. Verse 89 says, and when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony or the Ark of the Covenant from between the two cherubim, and it spoke to him. Now the Israelites called this display of the visible glory of God Shekinah. Now don't look in your Bibles for the word Shekinah. You'll never find it. Even though this word never occurs in the Bible, it does occur in many other Hebrew writings. And so this tells us that the Ark of the Covenant is the only piece of furniture on which God dwelt. And he dwelt on that mercy seat. And he dwelt there with his visible presence. No oil was needed there. The priests never had to trim the wicks, for there were no wicks. Now in the golden candlestick, they had to trim the wicks in order to keep the light continuing to go. They had to fill the reservoirs with oil in order to keep the light going. In the Holy of Holies, there was no candles. There was no light. There was no oil. There was no wicks, because the brightness and the glory of God filled the Holy of Holies with God's light. And this glory was a permanent light, and it flooded every corner of the Holy of Holies. There was not one dark place in this room. It was filled with the light of God's love, his mercy, and his grace. No other piece of furniture in the tabernacle was like the ark and the mercy seat. Though the lampstand was a source of light that burned always, it also needed trimming and refilling with oil every day to keep burning. Every other piece of furniture within the tabernacle was powerless and dark if the Shekinah glory of God upon the mercy seat was not there. So let us never forget that everything in the church becomes nothing more than empty form and meaningless ceremony if the glory of God is not there. That's why we sing our praises to the Lord. That's why we lift up our voices to the Lord. That's why we come and we hear his word. That's why we give back to God our offerings. That's why we pray. That's why we celebrate once a month communion, so that we can reflect to those that are here the glory of God. Now, as those who are believers in Jesus, the Bible tells us that at the moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we ourselves become the temple of God. And therefore, we can take the light of God's presence and not just keep it in this place, but we can take it out with us as we go. Remember what Jesus said? It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men and others that they may see your good works, so that you can get the praise, so that you can get the credit, so that you can get the glory. No, so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. We can take the light of God's presence out of this sanctuary into the world, into our homes, into our schools, into our workplace, into our neighborhoods, into our stores where we go to shop. We can be that visible light of God's presence within
each and every one of us. There's a second word that I want us to give some attention to this morning, and that is atonement. Atonement. The word atonement simply means paid for. God's mercy seat is the place of remembrance that a payment was made for sin. The position of the cherubim was to face one another, but the cherubim were not to look at one another. They were to look down upon the mercy seat. Why? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to go to Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, where it says, "And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small, and he shall bring it beyond the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat." Now Aaron, in his duties as high priest, and every high priest that came after him, does something so profound. Now remember, the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies. He could only go beyond the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. But the high priest on that day could never enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, without the blood applied to his own flesh to show that someday Jesus would come and complete God's work of redemption. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that profound? So as the high priest, one day a year in the Holy of Holies, is doing his responsibilities, doing his duties, it is a reminder to him of what God is sending a Savior. Now, all of the blood of those bulls and all of the blood of those goats and all of the blood of the other sacrificial animals before Jesus died on that cross, before his body was broken, before his blood was shed, was only done as a covering for sin. But the high priest, once a year, was always reminded that someday there was coming a sacrifice that would be complete. There was coming a sacrifice that wouldn't just cover the sin of mankind, but would take away the sin of mankind. God was going to send a lamb from heaven, his very own son, and that lamb would be the one who would what? Take away the sin of the world. Over 2,000 years ago, something profound took place. Jesus, God's son, was taken just outside the city of Jerusalem to a place called Golgotha, to give his life on a wooden cross so that the debt of mankind's sin would be paid for and God's righteousness and judgment were satisfied, because Jesus became what? The one who completed God's plan of redemption for you, for me, for the whole world. By dying for our sin, Jesus became our propitiation. And that word propitiation simply means satisfaction. God looked down on Jesus, the sacrificial lamb on that cross, and he said, "The payment for sin has been satisfied." 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 tells us he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of who? The whole world. The blood that was shed at the altar of sacrifice is brought to the Ark of the Covenant and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And God is satisfied. The blood that Jesus shed on that cross, as the blood ran down his cheeks from the crown of thorns, as the blood ran down his back from the beating that he took with rods and with a whip, the blood that ran from his hands and his feet as he was nailed to that cross, the blood that ran from his side as the spear was put into his side, took away the sin of the world. And with that blood, God said, the payment for sin has been satisfied because of the sacrificial lamb that I have sent. Propitiation can also mean mercy seat. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's mercy seat was on top of the Ark of the Covenant, right above the commandment tablets. As believers in Jesus as Savior, when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us through the Ten Commandments. He doesn't look at us through the law. He looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. As believers in Jesus as Savior, God doesn't see us in our sin. He sees us in the righteousness of Jesus. That is so profound. That is so wonderful. That is so amazing. That is so full of his love and his mercy. And above everything else, his grace. You see, God doesn't overlook our sins because Jesus paid dearly for each and every one of them. He no longer sees us as believers in Jesus as Savior in our sin. That's why the law isn't important to us. It's because Jesus came. And because the blood is spread on the mercy seat, when God looks down, he doesn't see us through the Ten Commandments, through the law. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. There's another word I want us to look at this morning, and that word is obtainment. We go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and it says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word receive also means obtain. Let's break this down for a little bit. Let's start with the first two words, let us. You know what? Those words, let us, would never be said in the Old Testament. Because only the high priest could come into God's presence. Only the high priest, once a year, could see the visible glory of God dwelling, sitting on that mercy seat. As Gentiles, we wouldn't be allowed into the outer court. Even if you were an Israelite, you couldn't go into the holy place unless you were a priest. The holy place was the first part of the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies was the second part of the tabernacle. And even priests couldn't go beyond the veil unless they were the high priest. And only once a year. And even then, the high priest couldn't stay in there very long. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the veil. And as Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished, what happened to that veil hanging in the temple? That same veil that had been in the tabernacle? What happened to that veil? It was torn in two. And God was saying, y'all come. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us come. Why? Because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. The barrier between man and God has been removed. And all we have to do to be able to have that direct access to God, that direct access to God's throne, that direct access to God's presence, is to believe in Jesus as Savior. Nothing more, nothing less. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say boldly. Now the high priest didn't go boldly into the Holy of Holies. He went in carefully and at significant risk. Because remember, if he didn't go in there properly cleansed, if he didn't go in there properly clothed, if he didn't go in there to properly do what it is that was instructed of him to do when he was in that Holy of Holies, he what? Died. And then because there was a rope tied to his ankle, and when the bells stopped moving and they knew that the high priest wasn't done fulfilling his responsibilities, the other priest would have to do what? Pull him back to the other side of the veil. And then a new high priest had to be chosen But that high priest couldn't go back into the Holy of Holies until when? The next year, the next day of atonement. This tells us that God takes sin seriously. When Jesus died on the cross for us, his body being broken, his blood being shed. This morning as we partake together in communion, let us remember that God takes sin seriously. And he sent the very best that heaven had to be able to what? Be the one. The one that satisfied the payment that God required for your sin, my sin, all of our sins. Now, boldly doesn't mean coming in disrespectfully. But today it does mean that we have direct access to God. And we may come into his presence with our prayers and our praises whenever and as often as needed. What a privilege that is. What a privilege that is that some of us don't take as seriously as I believe God would expect. And then there's grace. Now, wait a minute. Isn't God's mercy seat a throne of righteousness and judgment? How did it become a throne of grace all of a sudden? Something's transformed this throne, and it's the blood of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Now, mercy, as you all know, is not getting what we do deserve. You see, as believers in Jesus as Savior, we won't have to pay for our sins in a place of punishment and torment for all of eternity. Why? Because our sins were paid for by Jesus on the cross. And because of that, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, the declaration of the world today is, give me what I deserve. If you've studied human history, you know that at a point in time in human history, there was this block of time regarded as history that was known as the Age of Enlightenment. Have you studied that? You remember that? Today we are in the age of entitlement, where everybody says, you know what? I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. Just by the very thought that I'm alive and I'm breathing, I'm entitled. Just because I'm a part of this world today, I'm entitled. Just because I live in America, I am entitled. And so therefore, because I'm entitled, I deserve. I deserve blank, and you fill in the blank. You know what? In God's mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Because you and I couldn't pay that payment of debt for our sin. We couldn't be that which satisfied God's requirement for the payment of sin. Only Jesus could do that. We deserve what? Eternity in a place of torment, in a place of punishment, in a place of isolation for all eternity. But in his mercy, God sent us a Savior. You better be careful with going around saying, give me what I deserve. Because what you deserve is not a good thing. And then there's grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. You and I receive God's redemption because we believe in Jesus as Savior, because we believe he has paid the debt of our sin. As we come to participate in communion together, let's remember that. As we hold the bread in our hand, as we hold the cup in our hand, let's remember this isn't of our own doing. Let us remember this isn't something we deserve. This is because of God's grace. It's because of his love. It's because of his mercy that we can have a Savior. And let me just remind you, if you are a guest with us this morning to participate together with us in communion, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be one who believes in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let's remember Jesus.
King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
I'll bring you more than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let's remember Jesus. Thank you, man.
more time. I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.